Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition, very special edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Tuesday. It's October 24th. Yeah, you know, stumbling right out of the gate, that's not a good sign. But there's a reason for that, because I'm overwhelmed by the individuals we have in studio, one of whom is seated at our desk, and that's the honeybee. You know her as the honeybee, Melissa Zacharia. And let me tell you something. Opening this show, I just want to make a statement very quickly. And here's the statement. Those people who believe, for example, that Pizzagate is not real, who believe that Pedogate is not real, who believe that the information that we have seen in the Podesta, the infamous Podesta emails, is taken out of context or minimized, I want to say something very, very nasty, because after what I've seen today, the information, the documentation, the hard work of the individuals we have in studio today, including the honeybee, Melissa Zacharia. Let me explain something to you. It is all too real. It is all too prevalent in today's society. And with us, we have Melissa Zacharia, known on the internet as the honeybee. And she stinks. And I like to think of her as our own Penelope Garcia. I said that before. And with all due respect to Melissa, I mean, you have to watch, what is that show? Help me out with the name of the program.
Criminal Minds.
No. Oh, yeah, Criminal Minds. I'm sorry. I get that mixed up with the other one, the Naval Intelligence Show.
NCIS.
Thank you. Yeah. But nonetheless, she's a scary lady. And I say that with love in my heart. She's very effective at what she does. And you don't want her on your trail. You don't want her on your tail. Believe me, she can really, her expertise and the crew in studio, their expertise is unbelievably fantastic. We owe her and her team, we're in her debt, because the work that they are doing is in the field is incredible. And they've traveled quite a distance to be here, actually from different parts of the country. And we spent the day with them and working in advancing the objective of helping those in need. And there are plenty. And Melissa has brought with her some case studies, and some information. And that's my opening statement. I just want to appeal to everyone, everyone listening, everyone watching this, please, please, please understand. We're dealing with a sensitive topic. We're dealing with victims. We're dealing with young victims. We're dealing with a very, it's indescribable almost what we're seeing. Do not fall into the trap that the mainstream media is painting, that this is overstated in any way. If anything, it's understated, it's hidden, it's covered up. And we have to put a stop to it. It's revolting, it's repulsive, and any other adjective I can throw in there. But you know what? It's necessary to talk about, because if we don't talk about it, who in the world will? It's necessary to talk about because of our children, of the innocent victims. And if you ever want to tear up and cry, just look at the work that the honeybee has done and the rest of the crew here, and we're going to get to everyone individually. In fact, go to our Facebook or Twitter feed, and you can see some pictures, behind-the-scene pictures that John took. So, without any further ado, I just want to introduce her, toss it to Joe. Joe, go ahead and bring on our guest.
Yeah, it's great to have a number of people in studio with the honeybee, and we had a great afternoon. We sat down, we shared ideas, investigative findings, and went over different theories and areas, and it was a lot of fun, and it's always great to have people in studio. And we got a lot of great information we're going to cover tonight, and we have the honeybee sitting right next to me as they made, what, was it an eight-plus hour drive to get here and spend the day here. And we know how those trips go and how much fun those car rides can be. But we're so glad to have you.
On their own dime, too.
Yeah, and I have to say that.
And you know, which I would say this as well. If you find it in your heart, listen carefully to each, to the honeybee. And I'm not going to give away the rest of the program, but please support their work. That's all I'm going to say. Support their work. It's, again, if not you, who will? Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And we have a number of areas of topics we're going to get into tonight, both with the honeybee and with Andrew in hour number two, and they're both going to be in studio. And
make that Anthony.
Anthony,
I started.
I'm sorry.
That.
You
I
did
started
start that.
Yeah.
And Andrew, you'll figure this out in a month. We were just at Eric's wedding, and his brother, Andrew, is a very talented and funny guy. He's going to be coming on the show. But that's what my father said Anthony earlier today.
Yeah, that's
calling
right.
him Andrew. So that's stuck in my mind. So sorry about that, Anthony. Anyway, we have the honeybee with us, and she has brought some interesting evidence and insight into a number of very relevant topics and some that seem to have lost relevance, at least in the world of the alternative media, with pizza/pedogate. And I believe this is where you want to start today. Is it not, Melissa?
Absolutely. And again, thank you so much for you and your team, John Robertson and Eric back there, for having us here today. It's just a huge pleasure, and we are so overjoyed and grateful for this opportunity.
Oh, I can't believe you broke through security to get here. I mean, broke through. We've got good security, and they. No, I'm just kidding.
We found out where you lived. We didn't need an address. But in all seriousness, this is some information today that I'm gonna share with you folks out there. I did share it with Joe and Doug. My team really delves into a lot of these child exploitation cases where people don't usually go, especially within our mainstream media. They do not dig, and they do not report on what they're supposed to be reporting on.
And Elise, if I can't interrupt you right here, because you just said something so important. This Las Vegas investigation mm-hmm. is one of the great examples of what she's talking about. We have, you know, a plethora of information. I printed out a 15-page PDF on Stephen Paddock, his casinos that he had, mm-hmm. Membership cards to, his rental car, his travel itinerary for the last 8 years. All this information, not one piece that the mainstream media even asked about, let alone dug into to find out. Then we see headlines like this we saw the other day. 124 arrested in child trafficking ring, 84 children rescued. But then that's it from the story. You don't get the names. You don't get the backstories. Well, Melissa has done the legwork. She has gotten the case documents and records. And this is something that the mainstream media will never get into.
Mm-hmm. I think it comes from a great deal of cover-up, where there are people in these institutions and establishments that are actually perpetrating these crimes. They don't want people to know how complicated and complex these networks are. And it goes from your local government all the way up to the, you know, presidential staff members and government and police and military. It is astounding what we see.
I was amazed when you say the perpetrators are sometimes the individuals who are doing the investigations mm-hmm. are in positions of power. I was just amazed to see your findings on that, mm-hmm. and I think people really need to they really need to understand how prevalent it is in that respect. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, so where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the case here, or do you want to start some? By the way, again, I just want to say the codes, you know how people say, well, the codes are taken out of context.
The lingo for Pizzagate.
Yeah.
When we talk about the top from the Podesta emails, we saw a number of odd references to pizza parties. cheese pizza, different kinds of sauces,
mm-hmm.
and it was all weird. And then there was symbology also associated with it. But when you looked into what the FBI said were different types of codes and symbols for pedophilia and promotion of pedophilia, they were all there with the, you know,
yep.
definitions of mm-hmm. what these symbol were, code words and symbols meant. Now, in this interesting case that Melissa has uncovered and showcased here in the police documents, show you know, some fascinating stuff related to Pizzagate and the some of the admissions that the mainstream media and even the authorities denied and ignored when the story first came out.
Yep. So go ahead.
Sure. So even this week. Okay, we have a man, actually this was last week, excuse me, we're in the beautiful beginning of the week, of course, but last week, a man by the name of Stephen Salamack, he is a corrections officer in New Jersey. He was arrested for child pornography receiving and distributing, and what they found, and I'm going to actually have Eric, if you can, actually just skip right to number two. And scroll down to Exhibit B. If you can show our folks out there watching, if you look down on the third paragraph, it's labeled the investigation number two. In or about May 2017, a law enforcement officer working in an undercover capacity responded to a Craigslist personals advertisement placed by Salamack entitled Women/Moms That Are Into Cheese Pizza,
okay.
which is sought to connect with the mothers who are into perverted topics. Now, this is off of the Department of Justice website.
Mm-hmm.
These are documents provided by our government and just showing you that there are people getting arrested for exploiting children, hurting children, and they are posting ads on social media to find people that are into or want pizza, or parents that are willing to sell their children in code, using code for sexual exploitation and activities that are related to that.
Yeah, now, if I can, Melissa, this is a United States District Court, District of New Jersey document
mm-hmm.
written by an agent of the Department of Homeland Security, Homeland Security Investigations, and they, you know, do say, they come right out and say it, that the man posted, the corrections officer posted an advertisement entitled "Mom" or "Women Moms That Are Into Cheese Pizza," which means they were into perverted topics. So that blows the lid off of any of the people who are out there trying to say that there is no relation between, you know, Pizza Gate, as it were, was known, and pedophilia. I mean, the connections are right here in the Department of Justice's own document.
Right. And this document was filed on October 19th, just 5 days ago.
So it's really important that people stay diligent with these cases. You will find these code words. And there are many code words. You know, today we're going to be talking about specifically the a pizza-related one. This is something we've been looking into for about 4 months now. This was a case where a little girl, her name, God rest her soul, she is not with us anymore. She was murdered and raped and strangled to death by a relative along with his boyfriend. This little girl, she has a Facebook profile. And what we see, and I might ask Eric actually to show you know, some of the profiles that she has on Facebook. If you go to number five, Eric, if you could, you'll see she has a number of profiles.
No, the child does?
Yeah, Jacqueline O'Connor.
Okay, and so someone, if I'm hearing this correctly, someone would have had to create that profile on her behalf, obviously.
Absolutely. So what we found is that her relative, James Brower, him and his lover, Tobias Wooding Rundstrom, they were both arrested for the rape and murder of this little 11-year-old girl just this summer.
These are two guys?
Two men, yes, somehow related to this girl. His children are half-siblings of this little girl. So this family is very interconnected. We are looking into it. As for calling out other family members' names, we're very suspicious of a lot of the activity, especially the amount of Facebook profiles that most of the family members have. We're finding a trend here with children, and we're specifically going to get into Jacqueline O'Connor's Facebook profile pictures. Now,
okay.
If you go to number six, Eric, if you could show our folks out there, and if you guys can take a look at that third page, this is her profile picture on one of these particular profiles.
Okay. That'll...
This is a picture of pizza in the shape of a heart with various peppers, pasta, and pepperoni on the pizza. Now, there's not just one. There's two of those profiles for Jacqueline. There is another one that is not showing here, and I think Heather told me earlier that it might have been taken down offline, but there is allusions here to pizza and pasta. We have heard that peppers is some sort of, you know, symbology of maybe being a difficult, maybe a challenging child, maybe puts up a fight. That might be something spicy. You know, the pasta represents, I believe, little boys possibly. And, you know, this heart shape is another thing, especially Carolyn Lamacco. She does a great video on the symbology that the pedophile communities use with hearts. I also did the heart symbolism video as well with Heart Progress, but go ahead.
So are you saying that the people who perpetrated this crime are the ones who created the profile with that picture?
So,
is that what you think?
The proof that we have that these were created by James Brower, they're the one profile, and I believe it's the one that says 5780.
Okay.
That is like a score she got on Piano Master. And remember, guys, this is a little girl who's not with us anymore, and nobody's reporting on the specifics of her case. These guys, yes, they go to court and they go away and you don't hear about it anymore. It is the real hard facts here of what our government and our police are trying to cover up with the symbolism and this advocacy of pedophilia throughout our culture.
And I guess this is the right time to ask this, is it the police, the investigative agency, or is it the media, or both?
It's both. It's absolutely both. There's complacency, and there's higher ups that are telling police not to, to let release that information, not to investigate that. Media doesn't release, obviously, a number of this stuff because, A, the people that pay their bills and the people that are responsible for creating your news networks, this is the last thing they want out there. They use these codes, folks. It's not just these guys. I mean, this is a local, you know, a local yokel situation here, but it goes from there to high up. And like I said, with this profile, her relative, James Brower, created the profile for her. At the bottom of one of the photos of her, she wrote back and forth with him, explaining that she was kind of piffed that he created the profile for her and then put a certain picture and said how beautiful she was. So
how old of a girl is this that we're talking about? And pardon me if you said how old or her age.
Yes, Jacqueline is 11, was 11.
Was 11, okay.
Years old, yep. Yep.
All right.
Beautiful little girl. I feel a little weird. I was going to print out pictures and show you, but I don't know how some people, it might be a little bit much for them. This is very heavy information.
It is. And,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's so important to talk about. Just because you're uncomfortable hearing it doesn't mean you shouldn't hear it. And that's one of the biggest complaints, Melissa, I get, especially from Christians and conservative Christians, self-proclaimed. Well, we shouldn't be talking about this. Of course we should. The reason we haven't is perhaps contributing to the deaths and to the situation, in my view anyway, because this needs to be exposed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
So.
Okay. All right.
That is just, that's a little bit more for you guys to understand how pizza, pasta and things like that. This is a definite, what's the word I'm
connection?
Looking for? Not so much a connection. It's a red flag for you to look further.
Right.
You know, there is information behind these symbols and you will find it.
Do you think, Melissa, in your experience, Do you think that the term Pizzagate was misused improperly or mischaracterized, or because it's so much bigger than what it, mm-hmm. it's so much bigger than the pizza shop in Washington D.C. or whatever pizza shop is. It's I don't know. I just feel like well, you know, when InfoWars kind of was accused of backing off of the story of Pizzagate, I think that didn't quite happen that way. It was to widen the view of the subject, as opposed to backing away from it. It was widening, you know, because Pizzagate kind of confines it to one situation when I think it's much bigger. But your thoughts on the term?
I absolutely agree with you, and I've been saying this from the beginning. The Pizzagate is in Watergate, as in a cover up of something. This is the cover up of pizza being used as a word to sell children for sexual exploitation, pornography, whatever it may be. Pizza, CP, child porn, cheese pizza. That is where this comes from. It is not a new terminology. It's been around for many years, since the dark web has been around. They use cheese pizza as their code. Now, to go further with the Comet ping pong pizza.
Yes.
This particular pizza references, this pizza parlor, you have these weird pizza images on their website, on the Instagram, and then it's kind of peppered with really sick pictures of children in compromising positions with really inappropriate comments by men and adults and women talking about sexual things with these children appearing in the picture. Young babies to toddlers wearing pizza... I apologize for saying it, pizza slut instead of Pizza Hut shirts,
right.
Little four-year-old children. This is why it was so inappropriate for us to be like, hey, Comet Ping Pong Pizza, this is a family restaurant. What are you folks doing over here? So this connection with the dark web and then Comet Pizza and then the whole cover-up of the situation, then it was deemed Pizzagate. Pedogate is the worldwide child sex trafficking industry that has been going on for decades and decades, and that has been covered up for decades and decades. So, you know, you have the Franklin scandal, you have the Hosanna Church case that was actually True Detective is based on that story. Please, if you can, look into the Hosanna Church in Louisiana. And see what was going on with those kids down there. And it was a church. It was a local church doing this with kids.
What was that case where, back in the '80s that, the tunnels underneath
McMartin
daycare
preschool.
Thank you very much. Now, how much have you looked into that?
Very much so. Okay. Ted Gunderson did a lot of that work for us.
Okay.
God rest his soul as well.
Now, your findings with that, because I remember, it was hyped up. It was the false memory syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. Right?
Well, no, because those people that were pushing for the false memory syndrome research and pushing that, these people were involved in the abuse. They were people that were involved in the local government. This was a government-wide situation. I mean, it wasn't just some of the teachers and some of the parents. You're looking at networks that include your local government, that include your national government.
It's okay. And that is reality, and that's very troubling to hear. When we saw it in the Franklin cover-up case with Larry King, not the Larry King, but Larry King from Omaha and the Boys Town and such. So. And it seems like all of these overlap. To some extent they overlap, and they just, is it me, or is this just getting worse and worse?
I think it's getting worse and worse because people like you and people like me and my team and others out there that are working with us as a unified front are actually shining the light into this darkness. So now I think it is coming out more and more. I'm trying to look at this as positively as possible, folks.
Right.
Because it's a hard road to walk every single day looking into this stuff. Tears, tough nights. You know, we all have kids. You know, it's not an easy subject to look at, but I am not going to stick my head in the sand because that's what's been going on for decades. And that's why this stuff wasn't being talked about.
Yeah.
Melissa Zachariah, also known as The Honeybee, is our guest. You can find her on YouTube channel under The Honeybee and, of course, on Twitter at The Honeybee. And definitely follow her work. You're listening to The Hagman Report on this, the 24th day of October 2017. We're going to forego the network break. We want to thank Global Star Radio Network for allowing us to do that. And we're just going to continue to push forward because all of the information Melissa has is so incredibly important, and we want to get every word in. So yeah, just go ahead and continue because we're,
you get another interesting case, I guess, with where you would call, not only was this person a member of the U.S. military, but he was a high-ranking official doing a number of things, of different things inside the military in a number of departments. And I was wondering, I'm like, why did she give me this article? So I'm reading through the article, and then I come across the next article you give me. And, wow. Let's get into this. Humphreys, deputy commander to bid farewell. This article talks about a David Frodsham who will say goodbye to friends and coworkers during a farewell dinner April 6th in the Community Activity Center. He's leaving the U.S. Army Garrison Humphreys after serving as deputy garrison commander for almost 5 years. His next assignment will be as deputy G1 for the U.S. Army Network Technology Command in Arizona.
Yeah, can you believe
and
that?
It also goes on to talk about how he worked on some project helping children.
Of course.
In his service here. And here it is. Frodsham helped oversee the beginning of the largest construction project in the Army. Also, Humphreys added the Splish and Splash Water Park in the Child Development Center.
So, what a nice guy.
As the Army is bidding farewell to him, what happens next?
Right. So, not only are they faring well to him moving up and being promoted in his command, he's going off and doing some really amazing things. And mind you, this man works in NetCom, which is in charge of internet policy through the United States Army. They are the ones that deal with all of cybersecurity. So,
oh, isn't that nice?
Now, this guy seems like a great guy, doesn't he? And also his wife, you guys don't have this, she's also affiliated with ForceCom, MCOM, overseas branch of the United States government. This is a newsletter from the Director of Intelligence Personnel Management for the United States military. So,
not only that, he was a foster parent.
He is a foster parent.
Now, you've got to be approved for that. You've got to have in-house visits, right? Or am I wrong?
Absolutely. Now, if Eric can take it over to, I believe it would be number 9, which is one of our last links. This news article is about David Frodsham, the man we were just talking about, being arrested in a child sex trafficking and pedophile ring within the Howachuca Army base, along with another man named Randall Bishak, 25 years old. Now, not once in any of these articles, not any articles that are addressing this actual arrest, court case, any documents that you look into, not one says anything about him being affiliated with the Army. They have Randall Bishak, the 25-year-old, who I guess was in a military band. He's kind of like, you know, a smaller part. He's the fall guy. They'll put his name on the military, but not David Frodsham. And that is something we actually wanted to hold on to for a while, guys. But I felt it was so important. Heather and I and Anthony, we felt it was so important that you guys see this. This is an open court case right now because after this man received a child by the name of Devaney Calderon. He took this child. They did, sexual exploitation on her. They made videos doing things with her, sexual activities with her. They were selling, buying, using this little girl while he was in the care as a foster parent, as someone who's to protect her, not only to protect her, but to protect our country, being in the military. So she gets taken away from this guy. We want we want Arizona courts to understand that we know about this man and that we know he was in the Army, and that if the Army isn't going to do something to punish him with the law, because I know when you're in the Army and the Navy and things like that, you do get separate punishments for these kinds of crimes. So we would like the courts of Arizona to acknowledge the fact that this man was also in the military, in one of the highest ranks you can have at this particular this Army base, and that people are going to find out about it. We're going to talk about it. Even Medical Kidnap reported about this little girl, and this little girl's story does not end, because Devaney, she was taken out of his care and put into another foster care home. Okay, so Devaney was put with another foster
with
care
another,
parent. Yep.
Okay, and I'm sure the nightmare does not end there, right?
No, it does not.
Yeah.
So Devaney was put with another foster care family by the name of Austeris. That is the last name. It was Jason and Samantha. Now, Jason and Samantha, they really wanted to adopt children, and Jason's brother called CPS and warned them that they should not give any children to Samantha and Jason, because Samantha was highly violent and had mental problems, and that she should not have children. CPS denied his claim and gave them this highly traumatized child who was sexually abused in a pedophile run by the military. Okay, they take her and put her into this new home where there was already a complaint made about the parent being abusive. The child is with them. I think it was for maybe a year. This woman plunged Devaney into a scalding hot bath of water, held her under the water. When she was taken out of the water, her skin was peeling off. She had organ failure, and she didn't call the ambulance until a few hours after the incident. Now, this woman isn't just any woman. She is a behavioral analyst for the state of Arizona. A behavioral analyst deals with children, especially autism and emotional difficulties. They are there to help children learn to deal with issues that they may have. So,
does she have any role in using her position to advance the placement? In other words, was she involved in the process, or was she just the perpetrator?
Well, what we're finding now, there is a court case, and I'm not sure if I actually got this to you guys. There is a huge court case open right now concerning Devaney.
Okay.
The child was taken from the mother at a very early age because of very menial things. Okay. They take the kids from the parents that really just deserves maybe some services to help, but they find it much more lucrative to take the child and put it in the care of the state. And then the abuse starts. And we're not sure why there are some great adoption stories where kids are really happy where they are, and then there's other networks that get a hold of these children. We're feeling like it might be on a local level, because everyone in this court document, from the fraud shams, you know, Barbara and David,
right,
to the Austeras, Samantha and Jason, along with Catholic Charities, along with the adoption agency that was responsible, along with Arizona CPS, are all being taken to court on behalf of this child by three different law firms.
Wow. All right. So this is not an isolated case. I mean,
no, it seems to be ongoing. It seems to be there's some sort of...
Mm-hmm. You've got metastatic
child
situation.
Yeah. Molestation network where you have people in different positions of power in different cities, whether it's from the police or CPS to, businessmen and women and people in high positions of the church, where a child will be moved into placement from, we'll say, a parent who shows neglect into a place where, an abuser who works for CPS can put the child into a home where they will be abused and exploited, not just for the people who are taking them in, but for the group of people who are part of the network. And it's absolutely disgusting, and I'll be the first one to say that from these two people, the Army guy and his partner, to the mother, or the mother, the foster woman who took on the... They should all just be put to death, immediately after trial. These, there's no room for people like this in society. When you go to the extent that you do to hurt children like this, mm-hmm. whether it's through pedophilia or this, you know, horrendous physical abuse that leads to death or permanent, there's no place in society for people like this. And I don't care if you people have issue with what I say about the death penalty.
There you go.
I believe there's an issue for it. There's a reason and purpose for the death penalty, and if there ever was, it would be that.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Amen.
Well, okay. So where do we go from here? And folks, I do want to say that the Melissa, the honeybee, and her team, they're working very hard to uncover this. And they're working, just from what I've seen, firsthand, I got to tell you, again, we owe them for what they do. And certainly we thank Melissa, known as the honeybee on, Twitter and also on YouTube. Her work's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So please follow her and subscribe to her YouTube channel and spread this information around. As delicate as it might be, as revolting as it might be, we've got to get a handle on this and expose this. Melissa, take us anywhere you want to take us from here. We've got, again, we skipped the network break, so.
Well, I have an idea. We have 20 minutes left. Melissa, why don't you tell us about what it is that you've, what else are you working on, you guys are working on?
That you can
behind
tell
the
us.
Scenes, yeah. What are you investigating? Any upcoming appearances you got going on? Anything mm-hmm. breaking? And then any updates on the Pedogate investigation? Mm-hmm. What we see with the human trafficking rings? If we have any, you know, inside information as to the progress of some of those investigations? Anything you're working on or looking at that you feel is important?
Absolutely. So this is an ongoing work in progress for us. We are really starting to. As opposed to, you know, making videos and sharing everything we got, we chose to share this stuff to share with you folks so you can see it and have faith that there are people out here that are trying to make this right. Because you cannot, like I said, depend on your mainstream media. They are a part of the problem. And anybody that doesn't see this as being a real situation is a part of the problem. Just want to put that out there. Please do your own research. It's absolutely imperative to the future of our world, of our existence. So the importance of having people on the ground doing this research and doing investigating. I mean, we're out there looking around trying to find these symbols. And what we're finding is that there are codes just out there in plain view. You can find these networks. There are some things that I can't tell you about what we found. We will tell you what we found. We need an army of people to do this together at the same time to really blow the lid off this, not just on my channel or the Hagman show, or maybe exactly. It gets on to Alex Jones show. This needs to be like, everybody needs to get together, not tell anybody what's going on. Like just this group of this army of 144,000 people, I say to really get the information from their local towns, their local cities, and then just blow the lid off of it.
And Melissa, if I could just jump in real quick, because you made a great point with the symbolism. What the oldest form of communication is symbols mm-hmm. to communicate.
That's right.
Since the, you know, Babylonians and the civilizations before them. One of the great examples we see today of hidden societies and secret proceedings is Freemasonry. The secret society. And as private investigators, when we worked out of town, just about on every case we worked, in no matter what town we went to, you would see Freemason lodges. Well, they never just said, you know, Freemason lodge in big letters on top of the building. What you always saw was the square compass with the letter G in it. That's how you knew it was a Mason lodge. It's a symbol. Mm-hmm. And just like with Freemasonry, these child molesters, these pedophilia rings, have the very, you know, similar symbols, not similar to the symbol of Freemasonry, but they use symbols to be able to identify one another without speaking that language out loud and possibly incriminating themselves. And what we have to do is be able to find out what those symbols are and infiltrate these organizations, gather the evidence, and be able to bring these to the authorities who are going to make a difference, not the authorities who might be in on it or a part of it. In some cases, they are. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we can, formulate a plan to go about this effectively, but I'm sure there are ways it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa, directly, if I can ask this, have you seen any discernible change since Donald Trump has been in office with respect to the activities and actions of the Department of Justice? Or anything perceptible, anything noticeable that you could say, oh, wow, man, with the new head of the Justice Department, there has been some positive activity against these child pornography and pedophile rings.
Mm-hmm. I do believe that President Trump, he is definitely aware of what's going on. The second he was in office, we saw an explosion of busts and pedophile-related coverage in the media, which we don't really see that. I mean, if you understand this first guy I was talking about, Stephen Salamack, mm-hmm. this is a yearly sting that they do. And to be honest with you, there were kids in that sting that were 3 months old and, yeah. and 5 years old and, you know, 8 years old. These aren't like prostitutes of 17, 18, 19, 20. I'm not saying that, you know, obviously 17 years old is still under the age of consent in some of our states, but these are babies. These are babies that they're rescuing from pedophile rings, from sex trafficking cabals, where they are selling children for sex. Now, this was just another bust last week. So, yes, I am seeing a huge uptick in effectiveness and acknowledging that it's children in our country. This isn't somewhere off in another third world country. This is in the United States of America. And I think, and I'm confident, and I'm blessed to have finally a president that is willing to acknowledge it and does call out our news and says, you are fake news. I think that is very brave of him. We are in very, very tense times right now in our country.
Well, yeah, indeed we are. And that's interesting because we've been hearing, and we'll get the occasional email, well, nothing's being done, nothing has been done. But you've seen it, we've seen it. There seems to be some some difference, at least. I do think that there's been a change, and I think that the Department of Justice on a national level and then the police departments on a more regional level have done things to have upped their game, I guess, a little bit mm-hmm. since the new sheriff's in town, so to speak. Yeah. So, okay, this is good. What about the occult? And we're going to have, I'm sure we have people asking about this. What about the occult aspect of it, the satanic aspect of this? The you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, for mm-hmm. example. Built this shrine, and that was never really reported on with human bones and very satanic in nature, very demonic.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that? What are your findings with respect to that?
Well, the dark occult, absolutely. I mean, occult means hidden. Occult means knowledge that is hidden. I am finding that this dark side of this occult belief. They feed off of terror and trauma and fear. So it isn't a surprise to me that, I mean, to even think about what they're doing to these children. I mean, it is unbelievable. It's so unbelievable that it has to be some sort of beyond supernatural kind of darkness.
Right.
Because how can an actual loving, compassionate human being actually want to hurt a little baby who doesn't even know how to talk or smile yet? I mean, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's either some kind of absolute just mental disorder mm-hmm. or disconnect, or it is pure evil and darkness that
it really
drives us.
It defies credulity. It really does.
Absolutely.
When we look at this. And so kind of just to go back to the beginning, excuse me, this does wrap, or this does verify, authenticate Pizzagate, if you will. But it's bigger than that. It mm-hmm. verifies the pedophilia that's taking place. It shows you, and Melissa has shown, where the individuals involved are some of the very people who are supposed to be protecting us, and they're not.
No, absolutely
that's,
not.
That's where that's
and
where
they
it
have
is.
The hidden knowledge. And I'm telling you, there is a level of knowledge that is kept from us. And the fact that these people have knowledge to create or manifest whatever devious plan. And I'm telling you, they have devious plans for us folks, and they've got to be stopped and exposed with light, the goodness, the love, the Christianity part of it. If you're not into Christianity, I pray for you. Be a good person and don't hurt kids and fight for that cause. You know, you don't have to be a Christian to follow me on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? But if you're watching the Hagmann Show, God bless you for that. But this is darker than anything I think we've ever seen, with so many people living in this earth right now and with all the technology to communicate with each other, that we're seeing just such a wide, vast epidemic of this darkness and occult activity with the taking of children and using them for whether it's, I know they're doing sacrificial stuff, and they're not just doing it with kids. We're going to talk about Vegas in a little while. I mean, if that wasn't some sort of sacrificial rite, I don't know what is, because that is not a straight story that we're getting, and there is something really, really bad going on behind the doors of the truth of that situation. I don't think we're getting the story that we should be getting.
And Melissa, did you see the stories this week? There were two stories. One was unconfirmed. It was put out on YouTube format by a pastor in Michigan who titled it Families in Michigan Are Disappearing. And it didn't give names or anything, but it just talked about this phenomenon of people, mainly mothers and daughters, that were disappearing. And there was a number of people, apparently the congregants of this guy's church or another church, who were saying that they don't know where these people are going. And also a more documented case in Kansas, 40 children who were in the CPS system have disappeared just this month. They were taken from their parents, put in the care of the Kansas State CPS, and are now missing. And as John and I have talked about on our daily show, we are approaching the Halloween, occult holiday, and rituals during the fall season from the end of July into the beginning or end of December. These are these high holy days where these occultists and priestess and witches and warlocks perform these types of rituals and ceremonies. And we see the, you know, increase in tragic events that happens around these times, whether it's economic or otherwise. And we see the increase of what happens to children in these and other people for the purpose of ritualistic killing and otherwise. It's absolutely frightening to think that, you know, how can 40 kids who are under the control and supervision of the state, being taken away from their parents by the state due to some kind of perceived or otherwise negligent or abusive part on the parents, now have vanished, and the parents will probably never see them again? And how many of these cases go underreported to the point where, you know, we see these statistics every year, hundreds of thousands of people, children missing every year, never to be found, but we don't hear anything about it throughout the year. Not till the statistics come out 5 years later.
That's right.
And that sort of segues into, I think, what we saw. Isn't it interesting what we saw in Haiti, the Haiti earthquake, what was that, in 2010? Yes. And then, of course, the rescue operation down there, the Clinton Foundation, Laura Silsby. It kind of overlaps, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, any comments about that whole situation, and even to the extent where, even if you want to touch on the Clinton emails, although I know that we kind of hovered around that topic earlier on, but with respect to the codes and such, but any thoughts on that whole subject, disaster capitalism, mm-hmm. Haiti, Laura Silsby emails?
Disaster capitalism. Absolutely. Yeah. That is, I've never heard that put that way before. So I think that is exactly what that is. But because it's not just Haiti was huge because you had someone that was already arrested previously for trafficking children, trying to traffic children out of the country illegally to the United States of America. This woman arrested twice, pardoned by the Clintons, and then gets a nice cushy job working marketing over at AlertSense, which is the technology behind Amber Alert.
Man, you can't make that up.
I mean, that is—it's like a movie. It's like a movie, folks. It's a nightmare movie, a horror movie we're living in with these people. But that kind of disaster capitalism—we saw the same thing the kids and save the children over in Japan, where there are children missing. There's peacekeepers coming in and abusing the kids and trying to sell the children. This is the kind of program networking that you have these huge foundations like the Clinton Foundation, where we're going to send our people in there. We're going to build buildings. We're going to take care of all the kids. We're going to reunite them with their families. You know, they have this great write up. It's like, you know, this thick, like twice as thick as this, with all of the promises and bells and whistles. And then they, you know, they get your money because you're pitching in as well. And then they set up these projects.
Right.
These projects never get done. All the money that was supposed to go to building those 400 houses or repairing those 40 schools or building that, you know, home for those children that all their parents had passed away. Those projects there's no oversight. Nobody's looking to see if they built those houses. Nobody's looking to see, what's going on until they do their yearly Clinton Foundation thing and you see the numbers. Oh, we spent this much on that and this is how much we made, because there's either revenue incredible. Or there's just money left over. They didn't, you know, we had a little bit of revenue. Yay. Millions of dollars for us, at the expense of, people that are dying and suffering after disaster. And the Clinton Foundation is the worst. I'm telling you, they have their fingers in every country that has issues like this.
You know, I was, and Joe, I know you saw this. I was amazed at some of the blowback by the Haitians, by the people in the Haitian community saying,
and government,
saying, get out of here. We don't want you, mm-hmm. to the Clintons.
They showed four small buildings that were built with billions of dollars that were raised by Americans to the Clinton Foundation to help rebuild Haiti. And I don't think these people are welcome in Haiti anymore. Oh. I don't think them in
Peter Schweitzer talks about the Clinton Foundation, of course, their role in disaster capitalism, capitalizing on disasters, of course. All right, we've got just only about 5 minutes left or so. How can we best help you? And I know in the alternative media, we need to all band together. But how can we best help you? How can our audience best help the honeybee?
Well, I mean, we're working on a documentary to get all of this information out there into a very nice program where we cover everything we've talked about tonight and more, and how it's all connected. Because even Vegas is connected to this stuff, guys. I mean, these situations that happen, it is disaster capitalism on many levels, this Vegas situation. And a part of my team is Anthony. He'll be coming on a little bit later, hopefully, and
yep.
and talk to you guys about that. But if you want to donate to our fundraiser for our documentary, I mean, I have a Patreon account, but I don't really ask people for money. I mean, I work my other job, and this is something that needs to be done. I'm not looking to be paid for it. So if you're going to want to help me and my team and Heather and Anthony, donate to our fundraiser for our documentary so we can travel and meet these families and these kids that we're trying to help. The bulk of our travel is to communicate with families that have gone through this corruption and understand how we can help them, get their cases heard. We have one woman who has a gag order. She can't even have her website up anymore talking about the court corruption in her own case. You know, we're flying out there, hopefully, to talk to the family because we can't, unfortunately, talk to her. That stuff's important, and we want you guys to know what's going on.
And Joe and I and the rest of the crew here at the Hagman Report have been very, very touched and honored to see what the Honeybee and her team is really all about. I can say this. They're the real deal. She's very effective. No, they're all very effective at what they do. And I would put my... if I was a betting man, I'd bet on their success. I just say that. And I'll tell you, this one scary lady, she can do a lot of stuff with a computer.
You're an awesome person.
Studio guest. We've had Jack Cashel.
Yep.
He's been an in-studio guest. We have had Joseph Tessie. He was, most recently an in-studio guest.
I think she's our third.
No, we've had one more.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, regardless,
Coach Dave.
Oh, that's Coach Dave.
Was in studio guest. And now we have Anthony and Melissa.
Yeah, and both of them in the background.
So,
but,
yeah, and Heather, too, their researcher and friend. So you guys are 4 and 5 in the, what, 6, 7 year history of the show, people to be in studio guests. And it's always fun when we bring people in. Because, and you can tell, because I get to the studio, and my dad's hair, you know, sticking straight up, and I said, "Hey, you want anything from the store?" He said, "Death." But no, we, got some food in here. Everybody got in here. We sat down, brainstormed, kicked some ideas around, ate some food, had some laughs and a good time, and here we are doing the show.
But I gotta tell you, they're very good at what they do. Do not even though we were just, you know, making a lot of it, and it's because of the topic, the heaviness, you have to, but they're very good at what they do, and they're very dedicated and committed. And you talk about traveling on a budget, they are. So, God bless each, you know, God bless each one of them and the members of their team. So we're going to get behind them. And that's the thing from this point forward. We all have to stick together or else we're going to get hung separately.
Yeah.
And we have to make the difference. Go ahead.
And, the honeybee is going to be sitting with us in through the next hour.
Oh, yeah.
And, we're going to be talking with Anthony I knew I was going to mess this up. Cordonega. Is that right?
No. Cordonega.
Cordonega, even though John phonetically spelled it out for me, I still messed it up.
Cordonega.
Yeah, I'm just going
to... I love it.
Yeah, it's okay. So we're going to bring him on. Let him introduce himself.
We don't know.
Yeah.
That's okay. My name gets butchered every time I'm on a show. So, you know, it's just going through the...
But she'll be with us hanging through to this next interview. And this is when we're going to get into Las Vegas. We're going to get into the FBI.
Yeah, stick around.
We're going to get into not only that, but the Clinton Foundation, the Haiti earthquake relief disaster fraud that was the $2+ billion that the Clintons took, and maybe even the Uranium One scandal. I'm not sure if we're going to get into that or not. There's enough to talk about next hour just alone on Las Vegas. So it's going to be a very fascinating show. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report on this Tuesday, October 24th edition. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com. Precious Timber.